If we need anything today, we need Jesus. All the things we have, cars, home, stuff, what we need is Jesus. Thank you, Kathy, Dean, for sharing that beautiful song with us. And Jesus wants to do so much in your life, more than you can even begin to imagine. I hope you allow me. Well, before we get into the message this morning, I wanted to just take a moment for our discipleship moment. And once again, encourage you to continue to grow in the Lord. Happens through discipleship, and so we invite you to participate in Sunday school. We have classes for every age group, and so if you're in one of those age groups, we just said every age group, right? So if you're in one of those age groups, we'd love to have you for Sunday school, and come and study the Word in different groups, in different classes. The Lord's got many things he wants to share with you. But also, we want to remind you, this is our second Sunday for small groups. It actually happens on the third Sunday, not the second Sunday, but this is the second time that we're going to be doing small groups on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And so, the prayer group's meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. The car group's meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. The ladies' study is meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and then of course the young adults are meeting at Terry's, and so if you're involved in one of those groups, they'll be happy tonight at 6 o'clock, except for Terry's young adults, 5:30, and so we want you to be part of that. If you're not part of one of those groups, you're welcome to be, and so we would invite you to join those groups, and within those groups there's spiritual growth. Discipline is going to be happening, and so we want you to be part of that as well. And we are looking at starting a support group, small group in the near future, as well as possibly an actual discipleship group in the near future. So we'll keep sharing that information with you as it comes, but allow the Lord to lead you and guide you in regard to Sunday school, small groups, and let's just respond to the Lord. Let him have his will and his way in our lives, and you'll be greatly blessed for it. If you haven't figured this out by now, and I'm sure you have, we're all on a journey of some sort. We came into this world as a baby, grew into a child, and then into a teenager, and into a young adult, and then we stop having birthdays and such. Well, that's what I'm told anyway. But believe it or not, even though you've stopped having birthdays, you get to middle age, which the government says today that's in your 30s. Can you believe that middle age is in your 30s? Whatever. Some of us have migrated well past the mid-30s. Anyway, so we get middle aged. We at some point become what is referred to as senior adults, and then there's senior adults, those that the Lord has blessed with long life, and we're on a journey, if we choose to be or not. But today, I want us to stop and think about our journey. We're going to do that, because we're not just on any journey, but a journey with eternal significance. You say that together? Eternal significance. That's the journey I want to take some time and talk about this morning. I know life is a journey, and we may get to take many journeys in life, none, however, as important as our spiritual journey. Journeys can be fun, exciting, scary, maybe even frustrating at times. And if you are on a spiritual journey, and you are, if you know it or not, all those things happen at times. What we'll discover today is that the Apostle Paul addresses this very important part of the journey that we're on. And I believe it's very important at times we consider this journey and just where we are on our spiritual journey. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, I certainly hope that you do. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 this morning. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Paul shares some very powerful truth here with the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And he shares with us, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Powerful words from the Apostle Paul. Join us in another prayer. Dear precious Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us, the opportunity to gather as the body of Christ and to worship you, to sing and to pray and to fellowship one with another. What a privilege you've given to us to be part of the body of Christ, and we rejoice in it. And we ask, Lord, that today that you'll continue to move among us, and Lord, that you'll stir our mind and stir our heart, and that we'll know today beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have been in your presence. And Lord, as we come to your word this morning, would your word just speak so clearly to us in regard to this journey, Lord, that we're on. And Lord, may we take a few moments this morning as we encounter you and your word, and that we will truly examine ourselves and just see where we are on our spiritual journey. And Lord, for that to happen, we need you to come. And so Lord, we just invite you to come as only you can. We ask, Lord, that you allow us to come in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. Lord, may your will and your way be accomplished this morning. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul is simply, of course, this is the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, and so he's kind of in his summary and in his conclusion to the Corinthians. And he says very clearly to them to examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. And so basically the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you need to take inventory of who you are and where you are in the faith. Are you a believer? Are you a young believer? Are you a mature believer? And so on and so forth. He simply says to examine yourself. Take a good look. Pause for a moment and see just where you are on this spiritual journey. Truth is, this morning, with all of us that are gathered here, there's many of us. In fact, all of us are on this journey, but all of us are at different places in this spiritual journey. And Paul says there's some time you need to pause for a moment and you need to take a look and see where you are. And I love Paul's mind sometimes is just so neat. And he says, do you not know yourselves? That might be true sometimes. But he also says with it that Christ is in you. That's a powerful thing. If we're a believer this morning, we've asked Christ to be our Savior. Christ is in us. That's a powerful thought. But he says another word to us, unless indeed you are disqualified. And when he refers to somebody who is disqualified, that is somebody who is not necessarily a believer, or who isn't living like a believer. And so they are still in sin. maybe not even asked Christ yet. The following verses would say that Paul would say to them, but know that you are not disqualified because of Christ. There is forgiveness. But what I want us to get this morning is the simple fact that we are on a journey. And this morning we need to know where we are. Because the thing about a journey is, there's a starting place, and there's an ending place at some point. And so we need to know where we are on this journey, and we need to know what the next step is in this journey as we continue to grow more spiritual and serve the Lord. So I would like to take a few moments and just share with you in regard to our spiritual journey from, if we could, from the very beginning to the very end. And so let's begin, if we could, as we think about this spiritual journey. It starts, number one, with simply no concept of God or Christ. I know this morning, for those of us who are gathered here and those that may be joining us online this morning or sometime during the week, it might be hard for us to think for a moment that we don't have any concept of Christ or any concept of God in our life. That might be hard for us to believe. But believe it or not, there are people in this world who have never heard the name of Jesus, knows nothing about the plan of salvation, knows nothing about the mercy and the grace of God, in fact, may not even have any concept of a creator God. They may have a God they worship, but no sense of creator God who sent his Son into the world to die for the redemption of humanity. And that's true. And I think it's interesting that even here in the U.S., that there are people groups, if I can refer to them, that are in this position, right here in the United States. We might think that's absurd, but it's true. Have no concept of God. You might say, Pastor, how can that happen? Well, I'll be honest with you. There was a time in my life where I had no real concept of God. No real concept of Christ. And that baffles me at some level because my grandfather was a minister in this denomination. My grandfather. And yet I grew up with no concept to a certain point in regard to God and forgiveness of sin. And of course that was in the 70s, in the 80s. And so that's been some time ago. 40-ish. I'm sorry to tell you how old I am. 40-ish years ago. And that has progressed for people, even in the U.S., with the age of television and social media and texting and all this stuff. There's still people who have no concept of God or Christ. And that's where they're at on their spiritual journey. And I certainly hope that's not where any of us are here this morning, or those that may be joining us online. But if there is, I want you to know there's another step in this journey. We don't have to remain with no concept of God. And so the next step of our journey is we become aware there is a God. God begins to reveal Himself to us. And He does that simply, we become understand that God loves and cares for us. And I know that brings lots of questions to the mind of a person that is just starting their spiritual journey. If God loves me this much, why does this happen? Why does that happen? And we really don't have time this morning to share all those answers, those questions. But we begin to think in our mind back and forth, okay, there's a God. There's a creator God. Some
some being who created the world. And we begin to get this concept of maybe a little bit about Christ and that He sent His Son into this world to save me from my sin. And He loves me and cares for me. And so we begin to ponder those things in our mind. And that's part of the journey. At some point you were there. And often early in a Christian's journey, they encounter John 3:16. It simply says to us, so simply, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's a concept. There's a God who cares. And because we think, well, there's somebody then that cares about me, we kind of begin to explore that a little bit. Maybe. I think it's interesting that at this part in the journey, some people accept it. Okay, there's a God. I'm beginning to understand that He cares about me and that He loves me and that He sent His Son into the world to save me from my sins. And they begin to be interested in that. But at the same time, there are people who simply reject it. If there was a God, we wouldn't have this. And if He loved me, there wouldn't be that. And so on and so forth. And so they push back against the concept that God loves them. And that God cares about them. Some accept it, okay. Others say, no way. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in our country that are saying, no way. But the truth is, God still loves them, still cares about them. And so wherever you are today in your journey, I want you to know clearly this morning that God loves you. He cares about you. No matter where you're at on your spiritual journey. And it's in our best interest to accept that fact and begin to explore this love of God, which takes us to the next step of our spiritual journey is we understand, not just introduced to, but understand He sent His Son to die for us. There's a big difference in understanding something and just knowing about something. For example, we know that we put gas in our car, we turn the key, it starts and runs. But how many of us could draw a diagram and explain in scientific terms how that works? There's a few of us probably good. But not very many of us. So there's a difference in knowing and understanding. And so this next spot on our spiritual journey is where we really begin to understand that Christ died for us. And we understand that this concept of sin and our need for redemption. We really begin to search and begin to understand why Christ came. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 shares with us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, no matter where we're at on our spiritual journey, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we recognize that. And because of that, we recognize that God sent His Son into the world who died at the cross of Calvary and gave His life and shed His blood that we might be saved from our sin. We see in Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says to us, but God demonstrated His own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's an amazing truth. I've been on this spiritual journey since I was 14. And there's still sometimes I ponder, why, Lord, did You love me that much? But He does. And He did. He cared that deeply about me. He cares that deeply about you. And so we come to this place where we understand that we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we need a Savior. And we recognize that Christ died for us. That brings us to the next step in our spiritual journey, in which in theology we refer to it as a crisis moment. We come to this place where we have to make a decision. We're in crisis. Do I continue to live the way I'm living, or do I accept Christ as my Savior and seek forgiveness of sin? We're in a crisis moment. We have a decision to make. And so we ask ourselves, what does this mean? When we talk about accepting Christ as Savior, there's all kind of terminology and all kind of words that can be used and all kind of different methods and the way to present a plan of salvation, the plan of salvation. But of course, it's all through Christ. But basically, it's this concept of what we refer to as we come to Christ in prayer and we repent of our sin. Some people might say, what in the world is repent? Well, basically, it's just simply saying to the Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. But the concept of repent is simply this. Repent means you're going one direction and then you turn and go another. And so when we're talking about salvation, we come to this place in our spiritual journey where we accept Christ, we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, repent, and we begin a new life. We go a different direction. We don't do the things we used to do. Now, for some, that's a bit of a struggle with some issues, but we're still on this journey, remember? The journey hasn't come to an end. And so we come to this place where by faith we believe that Christ has forgiven our sins. And as Scripture says, we're a new creature. All things become new. Maybe in modern lingo you can say you got a do-over. And so we move to the next step of our spiritual journey. And truth is, many people are right here in their spiritual journey. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God, of course, is Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary for us. It's His blood that covers our sin, and we believe that through faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 say with us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved or forgiven. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we believe that if you've come to that point where you begin to recognize that you're a sinner, and the church years ago we used to call that old-fashioned conviction. Probably hadn't heard that word in a long time. But we come under conviction and we begin to feel guilty about our sins, the things that we've done wrong. So much so that we come to a place where we ask Christ to forgive us. And we repent. And then we believe in faith that Christ has forgiven us. And then we confess with our mouth that we believe that. And Scripture says if we've done that, we will be saved or forgiven of our sin. And at that point, we typically tend to call ourselves believers or Christians at this point in our spiritual journey. Well, for many Christians, that's if you call yourself a Christian this morning, you're at that point in your spiritual journey, and some have moved beyond that point. Just a commercial break here for a moment. I think it's unfortunate sometimes that people repent and get saved, and their journey stops. That's so unfortunate because there's so much more. There's more to this journey than just recognizing Christ as Savior. And so that leads us to the next step in our spiritual journey, and that is growing in Christ. Many people who come to the place and accept Christ as Savior and refer themselves as Christians, they don't have a lot of scriptural knowledge yet. And so that next step then is to begin to grow in Christ. To begin to seek God and His will for your life. At this point, they begin, if they're seeking God's will, they begin to get involved. They'll hopefully attend service. Maybe go to Sunday school or a small group or align themselves with some type of study so that they can learn more about God. We call that Christian living. And so beyond the point of salvation, we enter this stage of Christian living where we're seeking God. We're understanding more about what it means to be a believer or a Christian. What it means to worship God and all those things that God wants to share with us. It's that point where we start getting involved in being Christian, being Christ-like, being a believer. The growing part is very, very important in your spiritual journey. Not that all the other places aren't, but this is the place where we begin to get the concept of God's love and grace and mercy. And begin to see it at work in our life and in the life of others. It's the growing part. As we opened the message this morning, I said, you know, that we're born as a baby and, you know, we grow and we develop into a child. And of course, there's all these ages that break down. You got toddlers and all that stuff. But you grow into a child. You grow into a teenager. You grow into a young adult. That middle-aged part again, a middle-aged adult, and then eventually you progress into maturity and to become a senior adult. That's growing. And that journey, you're growing. Now, if your baby only got to the toddler stage and didn't develop any more than that and didn't grow anymore, wouldn't you be concerned? Answer that question. You would. Or if they grew into a teenager and remained a teenager for the rest of their life. Parents are going, no. Yep, some of us older ones, we've been there. Done that. Glad that's over. Anyway, you would be concerned. Now, however, when we get to middle age, we would kind of like to stay there. Come on, shake that skirt. Yeah. But you can't. It's a continual growing process. And it's the same way in our spiritual journey. We grow to in more knowledge of the Lord. In fact, typically what happens in the life of the believer, they get saved, become a believer, Christian. And we see in parentheses there on the screen, they get baptized. Which is an outward sign of an inward work. A person gets baptized to announce to the world that they've accepted Christ as Savior. And so they get baptized. It's kind of the next step in the journey. It's that testimony that says, I'm a believer. I'm trusting Christ with my life. I'm growing in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 shares with us, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. What is Peter talking about? He's talking about spiritual growth. And he's very avid about that in 2 Peter. In fact, he tells before scenarios and after scenarios. And right in the middle of that is this concept of growing spiritually. And so this is a very important part in the spiritual journey, is growing in Christ, gaining more knowledge, understanding, getting involved in the Christian life. And then as we think about the doctrine of the Churches of Christ and Christian Union, would then in our spiritual journey would bring us to what we refer to as the second crisis moment in the life of the believer. And we refer to that as sanctification. What we say here in the Evangelical Holiness Church is it's a definite second work of grace. First work of grace is, of course, salvation, where Jesus comes into our life, forgives us of our sins, sins that we have committed, decisions that we have made. And then we come to this place in our spiritual journey where we feel like, you know, we love the Lord. We're growing, we're understanding, but yet there's this struggle in us. We want to do what God wants us to do, but still we kind of want to do what we want to do. And we're still kind of influenced by our culture and our society. And we say, well, you know, they're doing that. Why can't I do that? And we ask the question, well, what's wrong with that? Instead of asking what's right about that. And so we it's kind of like a tug of war. We got God on one side and Satan and the world on the other side, and I hate to use this, but you know, there's that little red tag in the middle that's pulled back and forth and tug of war, and so sometimes we feel like that little red tag, you know, we're excited about what God's doing, and then all of a sudden we're headed that way instead of toward God. And it's a struggle, and it's back and forth, and we have this struggle in our life. We define that struggle as what we refer to as incarnate sin. Or carnal nature. Paul talks about carnal nature. You've heard the term, I'm sure, carnal Christians. They love the Lord, but boy, sometimes they're just mean as snakes. Say amen there, shake your head, you know that's true. You might have encountered one of them, or, oh my, you might have been one of those. I said that out loud, did I? Yeah, anyway, and so we say that's the struggle of carnal nature. That's the incarnate sin. And so now you're scratching your head for a minute and saying, sin and sin. Didn't we get forgiven of sin? You know, there's two different types of sin. There's a sin that you committed, and then there's a sin that you were born with in your heart. We call that incarnate sin. That exists because of Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, don't do this. Don't eat of that tree. They ate of that tree, and they brought sin into the world. We define sin as a willful transgression against the known law of God. God said, don't eat it. They said, hey, it looks good. We're going to eat it. They knew not to. They did it anyway. That's sin. When you know not to do something, and you do it anyway, that is sin. I don't care how the world defines it. But according to Scripture, that's sin. And so in every human being that is born into this world, that begins this journey, in the heart is this thing of incarnate sin. Not because of anything you did, but because of the fall of humanity in the garden. And it's that incarnate sin that creates that struggle. God's way, my way. God's way, my way. I'm going this way. No, I'm going that way. And there's a struggle. And so at this point on your spiritual journey, we refer to this as sanctification. The moment that we come to the Lord and we're simply saying, Lord, I'm tired of the struggle. And we ask the Lord to cleanse our heart. We ask Him to remove the carnal nature. That thing that says, I want it my way, my time, this is how I want it done. We refer to that as sanctification, the moment we surrender ourselves and everything we are to the Lord. And He cleanses us of the carnal nature. Now, does that mean that we'll never do anything wrong and that we'll never get upset again and we might find ourselves going the wrong direction at times? No, it doesn't mean that, because there are still times that we'll struggle with stuff. But the struggle is different. At this point, we're saying, Lord, I'm struggling with this. You're going to have to help me. I don't want to go that direction. I want to continue to come toward You, not away from You. I want Your will in my life. The biggest problem that most Christians have is their struggle with will. Sanctification is the answer to that struggle. And we call that the second crisis moment in the heart of the believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Now, if something in Scripture is sanctified, that means that it's set apart to be used by God. And that's exactly what happens in the life of the believer when we get sanctified. We are set apart to be used of God, which leads us to the next step in our spiritual journey. And that is to live missionally. We have a purpose as believers, as Christians. We're saved and sanctified. And now we're moving into maturing in Christ. Yeah, we're still growing and we're going to continue to grow. As long as the Lord leaves us in this world, we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to understand more and more about the Lord. And we're going to walk more and more in the light of the Lord. And we're maturing in Christ. But something begins to happen in us. We begin to think about others and others' salvation and where they are on their walk. And we get involved in ministry. That doesn't mean that you're going to be a pastor or even a teacher, because ministry comes in all shapes and sizes. And there should be a moment in our spiritual journey where we come to the place where we get involved in ministry. Where we begin to touch the lives of others for the kingdom of God. And that's living missionally. Because the mission is to touch lives. Here at Dover Hill, we say that we're a healthy church, serving Christ in a hurting world. We fulfill that mission by praying, caring, sharing, and empowering. We're going to live missionally. We're going to get involved in ministry, whatever that ministry might be. And all of us in our spiritual journey at some point has to come to this place and begin to live missionally. So we get involved in ministry. We begin to give generously of our time and our finances and of the things that God has blessed us with. We use those things to bless others. Basically, we come to this place where we become a servant. Jesus said Himself, "I didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." And so we come to this place of spiritual maturity, where we get involved in ministry, where we begin to give generously, we begin to serve others. We recognize there's purpose in this journey. We refer to that as living missionally. And boy, I hope that's where we are. We're all in different spots on our spiritual journey. And those of you who are listening with us online this morning, you're in a different spot in your spiritual journey. But this is the goal. This is the place to be when we come to this point of living missionally. And we understand there's a beautiful purpose. And that purpose is to touch the lives of others and work for the kingdom. And then there's necessarily want to call it the end of the journey, but it kind of is the end of the journey as we know it. Because most often we speak in the framework of humanity. A person is born and a person dies. That's kind of how we measure everything in this world. And so this is the end of one journey that begins another journey. And we refer to that as glorification. This is when the physical body, the body of flesh that we know now, is transformed into the spiritual body. Where we become a spiritual entity and have eternal life to spend in what we refer to as heaven. Glorification, glorified body. The scripture talks about it. Not necessarily the end of the journey, the end of this journey as we know it, but it's just a transition into the next journey of spending eternity with Christ. So the end of the physical body, the beginning of the spiritual body, as we spend eternity with Christ. For many, that has come through death. There'll be a day, however, some will be taken up, according to Scripture, and be transformed. But at some point, we come to this place where this body is going to pass. And we're going to get a heavenly body. According to Scripture, we call that glorification. And that's the end of this journey, as we know it. I don't imagine there's very many of us this morning who want to say, yeah, I'm ready for the glorification spot in my journey. In fact, I think it's interesting, the ultimate goal for the Christian is to reach heaven and spend eternity with Christ, but I've never met a Christian that's in a hurry. But we're all on a spiritual journey. The goal here is to get to that place where we live missionally. But as we think about this spiritual journey this morning, all this, the eight things I just shared with you, all this brings us to some important questions. Questions are important. And it brings us this important question. One of them being, where are we now on our spiritual journey? Paul says, examine yourself. Test yourself. Look and see where you are in the faith. So a question this morning, if we can make that more personal, if we could. Where are you now on your spiritual journey? Unfortunately, for some, they get stuck along the way. They're not moving forward in their spiritual journey. And so we need to stop and take a look. Where am I on my spiritual journey? Maybe we even ask the question, where would you like to be on your spiritual journey? You're thinking, well, that's an odd question. That point in the spiritual journey where people are just beginning to recognize the concept of God and Christ. And you talk to them and they say, you know, I would like to be saved, but just not right now. They'd like to be. So where would you like to be this morning on your spiritual journey? Maybe you're longing for that place of clear understanding of Christ as Savior. Maybe you would like to be at that place where you've experienced the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you like to say, boy, I wish I could be living more missionally in my life.
Where would you like to be? I said this, these are some questions.
So the next question then simply would be this morning is, what's standing between you and the next step on your spiritual journey?
Praise King sang that powerful song this morning, Chain Breaker.
Whatever's hindering you from being everything that Christ desires of you, or is hindering you from moving to the next step in your spiritual journey, Christ can break that barrier or that chain this morning, and you can continue to move forward in your spiritual journey. So what will it take for you to move beyond that barrier? Jesus. I'm telling you, it's Jesus. And so I wonder this morning, as we stand together, ask the praise team to come and they're going to share a song with us for altar call this morning. As we stand together, let's stand if you can. If you can't, that's okay this morning. Maybe this morning you're in your mind, You're examining yourself, you're testing and seeing, you're asking yourself and the Lord, Lord, where am I on my spiritual journey? And you might be saying to yourself this morning, maybe I need to pray about this. And you're thinking, maybe I need to pray about this. I'm telling you, need to pray about this. We want to give you the opportunity this morning to come forward, and maybe you need to ask the Lord, Lord, where am I on my spiritual journey? Give me some clarification, Lord. What's next for me? And that's the important question this morning. What's God's next step for you? You might even be living missionally. You might even have come to a wonderful place of maturity in your spiritual life, in your spiritual journey. But you might be stepping into a different season. And what you've always done may not be what God is asking you to do now. But make no mistake, this journey doesn't end until we step into glorification. So we're still on the journey. And so we need to be asking, what's God's next step? Maybe this morning you want to come and ask the Lord, Lord, what's the next step in my life? Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never experienced Christ as Savior. Maybe you've joined us online this morning or sometime this week and you've never experienced Christ as Savior. The next step for you is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and then confess with your mouth. But recognize this morning, we're all on a journey. But where are we on that spiritual journey this morning? Because it makes all the difference. And so as they lead us this morning, let's ponder that.